This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Priya Bathija. Priya is the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at the American Hospital Association, AHA, magnificent organization. Priya is going to talk today about maternal health and some of the issues on maternal health. Maternal health is a fascinating area in our country in that we do very well on certain measures of it as a nation, and then we do absolutely horribly on it in certain measures as a nation. And Priya is going to help shed some more light on the issues of maternal health. Priya, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you today, Scott. I'm Priya Bathija, and as you mentioned, I currently serve as Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at the American Hospital Association. As you know, Scott, we focus on a full range of issues for hospitals and health systems at the AHA, and we have a number of strategic priorities related to policy, advocacy, and member assistance. In my role, I lead a number of initiatives that have been identified by our board or our leadership as priorities for the hospital field. So that includes a broad variety of efforts spanning from value to personal protective equipment during the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, maternal and child health, which is what we are going to be discussing today.
So Priya, give us a sort of an overview of what's going on with maternal and child health in our country.
Yeah, so Scott, as you mentioned, we are not doing so well on some metrics, and the pregnancy-related death rate in our country continues to rise. And you've likely read that every year more than 700 women die from pregnancy and delivery-related complications, and another 50,000 women suffer severe health problems related to pregnancy. And childbirth is even more dangerous for communities of color who are disproportionately impacted by both maternal mortality and morbidity. So, for example, Black women in general are more likely to die from pregnancy and delivery-related complications. And we see this across all Black communities and education levels. Black women with a college degree are 5 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related deaths. And of course, behind each of those numbers are entire families who have had their lives shattered, and what should have been the most joyous moment in a woman's life, the welcoming of a new life, really turns to a devastating tragedy.
And why are the U.S. stats in this, as I think you and I know, they've backtracked over the last several years or so forth. This isn't a Trump or Obama thing. They've backtracked over the last 10 years.
Right.
Talk to us about why that possibly is in such a sophisticated country that we have.
Right. Well, I think that there are really two big challenges. There are a number of challenges, but two that sort of rise to the surface and have been the source of a lot of conversation in the day-to-day health policy world. The first are the disparities we see in maternal health outcomes. I just went through some of that data. And those numbers are really alarming. But I think what is more alarming is that the rate at which Black women are disproportionately impacted has not changed since the 1940s. So the disproportionate impact we see today is the same as what we saw more than 80 years ago. And we really can't wait to address those longstanding inequities in maternal care. So one of the ways we're seeing hospitals begin to right this inequity is by offering care that is free of implicit bias. And we as the AHA have been working with the March of Dimes and recently shared with our members a unique in-person and virtual learning experience that they developed on implicit bias that provides authentic and compelling content that is specifically aimed at healthcare workers who are caring for women before, during, and after their pregnancies. And we believe that this training can help healthcare providers do better in caring for communities of color. It'll offer important insights to recognize and remedy implicit bias, and it'll also prompt conversations that might not have happened otherwise. And we think that all of that can improve patient-provider communication, overall patient experience and quality of care, and really generate a culture shift towards the broader goal of achieving equity and care outcomes for all moms and babies. This, of course, is only a first step. We also are encouraging hospitals and health systems to foster environments where women are encouraged to speak out and be heard by their care teams, also to promote increased data analysis, the creation of inclusive processes and procedures, and really to make investments in programs that support women of color. So of course, that health inequity is the first challenge. And the second is access. So do mothers right now have access to information and providers that they need before, during, and after childbirth? And we're seeing these access challenges across the country, but one area where, as you can imagine, we're seeing them the most is in rural communities. So women living in rural communities often have to leave their community and travel a great distance to receive prenatal, OB, and postpartum care. Recent research from the University of Minnesota Rural Health Research Center showed that more than half of our rural counties don't offer OB services. And that's quite alarming. And that's a lot of women that are traveling outside of their community to get care that other women have readily accessible to them. So there are a lot of challenges in terms of access, but we've seen rural communities develop solutions to improve access to different types of providers, whether that's OBs, family physicians, doulas, midwives. Really, they've taken a lot of efforts across the spectrum. They're also doing some really impressive work to make sure that their emergency departments and teams are OB ready should a mother need to deliver a baby locally. They're also partnering with larger hospitals and health systems to really provide access to consultations and visits with specialists for high-risk mothers. So we're seeing a lot of good work taking place in rural communities to improve access to maternal care for women in rural areas. But we're also seeing that happen nationwide, and there's a lot of work being done to improve access. And one of the areas where I see the most potential is really the digital solutions that have come about in the past 3 to 5 years that support women throughout the course of their pregnancy and allow healthcare providers to engage with those women before, during, and after childbirth and watch them, monitor their vitals, monitor what's happening. And it really leads to a better patient experience for the patient, but it will lead to better outcomes for all mothers.
And so when you look at this, give me a summary about, two, three, 4 points about what the nation can do or health systems can do to make an impact on maternal health.
So I think the first thing we have to do is acknowledge that we need to do the work. We need to find solutions like the ones that I shared earlier, and then find ways to expand and scale them so they can meet as many mothers as possible across the country. In addition, I think we need to work on this issue of mortality and morbidity specifically. The AHA has launched Our Better Health for Mothers and Babies effort, which is aimed at those two issues specifically. And through the effort, we've created a 4-part action plan for hospitals. And those 4 parts, I think, are really important for each hospital to take on. The first is evaluating and acting on your data. Second is examining disparities. Third is engaging mothers and families. And fourth is partnering with clinicians and stakeholders in each hospital's community. So I think taking those 4 parts on will be really important. And last, I would just say, I think this work is not going to be easy. And a lot of the changes that will be required are going to be culture changes, which are much harder to make than process changes. And it's something that isn't just going to impact hospitals and health systems. So if you look at the data on pregnancy-related deaths, only 36% of pregnancy-related deaths take place on the day of delivery or within 1 to 6 days postpartum. So that means 64% of the deaths are taking place before a woman gets to the hospital or 7 days after delivery when the woman is likely not in a hospital. And so that just means we have to approach maternal mortality and morbidity as a public health issue, not just a clinical care issue. And we really need to expand our conversation outside of clinical settings and look at how we can collaborate to ensure that women have what they need across the care continuum. So it's not just a clinical issue. We all have to be working on this together.
But this is why it's harder to solve, because you've hit it right on the head. If it was just a clinical issue, we could solve it through better staffing, better protocols, a whole number of better preparations at health systems, or steer mothers to health systems we know are great on delivery and great on sort of, you know, neonatal challenges and so forth. But the reality is the issue is as much a social determinants of health issue as it is a clinical issue, and thus it's a much broader, deeper issue to solve, too. Part of it's clinical care, but a great deal of it's social determinants of health, isn't it?
Right. It really is. And even, you know, the social determinants of health conversation is so related to maternal health, because we have to look at the situations in which mothers are living and operating in their day-to-day lives. And so as we look at this collectively as a public health issue rather than a clinical issue, we open the door to conversations on how to look at, you know, how can we support mothers once they go home? What if they don't have transportation to get to a follow-up appointment? What if they don't have the funds necessary to purchase a blood pressure cuff to monitor their blood pressure in the postpartum period? How can we have broader conversations around the actual needs of these mothers and keeping in contact with these mothers once they get home? So it is a much bigger problem, but I am really excited to see the progress that hospitals are making, not only on their own in the clinical aspects, but in reaching out to other organizations and communities or digital health providers to find solutions that allow them to address the challenges that mothers face before, during, and after pregnancy.
Priya, I want to thank you for the work you do, for joining us at the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and also for the great work the AHA does in supporting America's healthcare systems. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yep. Thanks, Scott.